Well, tonight I'm going to speak on King Hezekiah. Remember in the past, we spoke on King Asa, then we talked about King Jehoshaphat, and now King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, what a marvelous king. He ruled for 29 years, and he had the most reforms of all the kings of Judah. He had comprehensive reform. He reopened and purified the temple. He destroyed the bronze serpent. He centralized worship in Jerusalem. He built infrastructure. So he built a tunnel to secure Jerusalem's water supply. So he saw the king of Assyria coming, and he decided, hey, we need to make sure that the king of Assyria doesn't have, why should he get water for free? And so they dug a tunnel so they could get water into the city of Jerusalem. Really amazing, amazing technology that he employed. Then he faced the Assyrian invasion under Sennacherib, and that's what we're going to talk about. But he's known for deep faith and a prayer life. And so as I've been thinking about King Hezekiah, I'm thinking, how can I express everything about him? Because there's so many verses in Scripture about King Hezekiah. So here's a summary verse. In 2 Kings 18:5, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. So he is a bright light when it comes to the kings of Judah. So I've been thinking about this. How can we look at his life, and how can we apply it to our lives? What are the little hooks that I can remember? And so I thought of this. You've probably seen something like this. This is a strategy that businesses use for strategic planning. Not just businesses, but schools and all sorts of people use it. So you use a SWOT analysis. And so what you do, you ask questions about your strengths and your weaknesses and your opportunities and your threats. And all of these kinds of questions and answers help you formulate where you are and what the next steps maybe could be for your business or school or ministry. Well, I want to use that for King Hezekiah, and we use it for me and for you, and I want to do a SWOT analysis of your life. What are the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats in your life? Well, so Hezekiah has threats. Amazing threats. So in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. That's a threat. In fact, Sennacherib, he was so proud of what he had done and how he conquered Judah that in Nineveh, he built this relief walls in his palace, and he told his story of what a great guy he was and all the people he conquered, and he really built himself up. Well, it's interesting. If you can see the map a little bit, and it's a little hard, a little small, but you can see there's a word on the left-hand side, Lachish is the town. And Sennacherib had, he surrounded it, cut it off, destroyed it, and then he was headed toward Jerusalem. And that's where King Hezekiah was, and he was facing this threat. As I talked about this, I'm thinking, well, how can I relate Sennacherib, who had an army of 185,000 people, how does that relate to me? How does that relate to you? We have threats, but I don't have a threat like that. And then I got to reading, and I want you to see this verse. Isaiah chapter 36, and it says, he says, where is it? There it is. Oh, here it is. Yeah, here it is. This is what helped me. Isaiah 36, 8. Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. Make a bargain. That's how it relates to you. Satan wants to make a bargain with you. He says, you don't need to live the Christian life. Have I got a deal for you? You can do it this way, and your life will be great. And so this is what Sennacherib's arguments were to Hezekiah. He says, hey, Hezekiah, your friends aren't going to help you. And so Satan is saying to you, Your Christian friends aren't going to help you. They're not going to be there when you need something. They're not going to be there. You're on your own. And so he mentioned the king of Egypt. He said, it's like a reed, splintered staff. When you lean on it, it'll shatter, it'll splinter and get in your arm, in your hand. You can't trust Egypt. And Sennacherib's saying that, but Satan's saying that to us. You can't trust Christians. They're unreliable. I'm stronger than you are. Sennacherib was really impressed with himself. And in this passage, he offers Judah 2,000 horses if Judah can find riders. And he is just trying to tell them, you guys are weak. I am stronger than you. You don't have a chance against me. That's Satan's argument against you as well. Satan wants you to think that he is all-powerful and that he can overcome you and that you can't stand up against his temptations. He wants you to believe that he can overwhelm you. And sometimes he does. Sennacherib also argued, he says, hey, God told me. It's interesting. In this passage, Sennacherib says, well, the Lord told me to conquer you. Wow, that's really interesting. And if you read through that, he said, yeah, well, the Lord said this. He told me to march against this country and destroy it. Well, Satan, he twists scripture all the time. And he makes himself say things that you think you're hearing it, but it's not really true scripture. He tries to twist the scripture to get you off track, to get you confused. And Sennacherib used the same thing. Sennacherib said, look out for yourself, too. So this is interesting. He was speaking in Hebrew to the Israelis on the wall, and the commander says, hey, don't speak to us in Hebrew, speak to us in Armenian, so everybody doesn't understand it. But Sennacherib says, no, I want everybody to understand what they're out for, what they're going to get into, and what they're in trouble for. So the argument is, look out for yourself. And so this argument is, sometimes as parents, we want to protect our kids from Satan, and Satan finds a way to communicate directly to your kids. He wants them to get the message because he wants to tempt them and draw them out. He wants them to look out for themselves and make their own choices. Well, that's an argument from Sennacherib. Another one is, don't believe your spiritual leaders. That's what Sennacherib said to the people, because Hezekiah was trying to give them confidence and trying to give them the truth of the word of God, trying to help them trust the Lord. And Sennacherib says, hey, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let Hezekiah persuade you. Don't listen to him. That's a threat. This guy's a threat. Well, Satan does the same thing. He doesn't want you to listen to the truth. He doesn't want to listen to his spiritual leaders. He wants to persuade you to make up your own mind, go your own way, do your own thing. Don't pay attention to Scripture. And the last one that Sennacherib says, listen, everybody else failed. And he lists all the other countries that he ever defeated. Well, Satan wants you to remember all the times that you failed, and he wants to bring that up to you again. And Satan wants to show you that other people fall, other people fail, and it's just inevitable. You're going to fall. Because I'm more powerful than you are. So this was the threat. So what do we do when we are faced with threats? Threats from Satan, threats from others, but especially in thinking about spiritual warfare and the threats that you face. So Peter says, when they hurled insults at Christ, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So the Lord entrusted himself to God the Father. So we need to entrust ourselves to the Father. We need to pray when we face threats. We need to pray when we face threats. And so here's what Hezekiah did. This is why Hezekiah stands out among all the kings. Hezekiah, he received the letter from the messengers and read it. So all of this stuff was written down, all these threats that he could pour over and say, oh man, he's stronger than me. He's making a deal with me. He's trying to confuse the people. And Hezekiah took it up to the temple and he spread it out before the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. What an image. It's almost like you remember the movie War Room, where the lady had her little post-it notes all over the wall and said, this is what I'm praying for now. These are things I'm interested in. This is what God needs to do. This is what Hezekiah did. He laid his prayer requests out before the Lord. And this is what he did. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over the kings of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. This was his prayer. He acknowledged God's sovereignty. And as we think about the threats, the spiritual threats to yourself, to your family, to our church, to our country, we need to acknowledge that God's in control and that He's enthroned between the cherubim. We're praying to the King of Kings, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. That should change our prayer life, that we're not just praying to someone who doesn't have the power to help. We're praying to the one who has extreme power, who can solve every problem in every imaginable way. So Hezekiah prayed, acknowledged the sovereignty of God. He also prayed specifically, not just generally. He just didn't say, bless the missionaries. He listed what's going on here. And so even in this case, he said, Lord, it's true. The king, Assyria kings have laid waste all these peoples and their lands. They've thrown their gods into fires and destroyed them. They were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. So he says, this is the problem. I'm praying specifically about this problem and outline it. I think that's really important, to pray specifically for specific needs. Then he focused on God's will, not his. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the only God. We pray, and sometimes we pray because we want our will to be done, but we also need to constantly recognize we need to pray that God's will would be done. That it's not just the thing that I'm trying to get an answer for, but in that answer, I want God to be glorified. I want his name to be exalted. I want the answer to glorify him. Focus on his will, not mine. Well, so that was the threat. That was the threat that Hezekiah faced. And you face similar threats in your life. Maybe you don't see them all the time, but Satan wants to oppose you. He's the accuser of the brethren. A night and day, he's saying, look at that terrible Christian, how they're not living for Christ. He is accusing you all the time. He is a threat. He is a roaring lion walking about seeking somebody whom he may devour. Well, now we're going to talk about strengths. I'm not going in the right order. I'm going in a weird order to get your attention here, because the strength is, Hezekiah said this earlier to the people. He said about this situation, he said, listen, yes, the Assyrian king is strong, but with him is only the armor of flesh. With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gain confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. You know, we can look at our threats. We can even look, you know, it seems like the world is going crazy and the school system is, you know, woke and whatever. While it looks like the people of this world are really strong, the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That's the strength. So here's the great answer here. So in Isaiah 37, 36, then the angel of the Lord went out to put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next day, they were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Syria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. What a great story. 185,000 people, soldiers, surrounded Jerusalem, ready to attack Jerusalem, and the angel of the Lord went out, wiped them out. Wiped them out. What an amazing story. This is God at work. And so the interesting thing about King Hezekiah is that there's some archaeology evidence of this whole event. In fact, Sennacherib even wrote a story about this. Now, he didn't write the whole story. He just only wrote the good parts. He didn't write the part that he just got wiped out. He didn't happen to mention that. But he did mention all the things. So it says, this Sennacherib Tower, it's in the Oriental Museum in Chicago. And it lists all of his victories. He destroyed 46 cities in Israel. And then it says, this is what he said about Hezekiah. As for Hezekiah, I confined him inside the city of Jerusalem, his royal city, like a bird in the cage. I set up blockades against him and made him dread exiting the city gate. That's all he could say. He didn't conquer him. He just kind of closed the door for a while. And then the angel of the Lord came and wiped his army out, so he went home. Isn't it funny that he wrote that and he left out the whole story, right? Well, so strengths. This is strengths. Now, all right, I'm working you through this. Threats, strengths, weaknesses. Now, this is interesting in Hezekiah's life. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at a point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover." Wow. Wow. Put your house in order. You're going to die. You will not recover. Well, that seems like the ultimate weakness. Well, so Hezekiah, interesting, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. From this moment of seeing 185,000 enemy soldiers wiped out to now facing his own mortality, knowing he's going to die, the emotional roller coaster he's on, and he weeps bitterly. The passage also records his prayer. Now, it's something he wrote down after the fact, but here's the prayer, and here's the prayer. It's how we can pray when we're weak, when we need strength. So, Isaiah 38, he questioned God's plan. It's okay to question God. That's what the whole book of Job is about. Job, wondering what's going on. But Hezekiah says, "I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed the rest of my years?" He's asking God, why? Why is this happening? I was serving you. It doesn't seem right. He also faces the loneliness of death. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit's with you in Luke 16, that when Abraham, Lazarus died, the angels came and they carried him to Abraham's bosom. We know that angels are going to guide you through the veil of the valley of the shadow of death. We know that, but it's a lonely thought to think I'm going to die. And you're going to die alone, even though you're going to have a bunch of people around you. You're going to die alone. And he said, "I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look at my fellow man, nor be with those who dwell in this world." He's trying to face death. He's trying to understand it. Acknowledge that life is short. "Life is like a shepherd's tent, my house. It's been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I've been rolled up my life, and he cut off me from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me." He's just talking about, wow, life's just a tent. It's not a castle. It's just a tent. I'm just folding it down, moving on. And then he says, "I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end to me." He's struggling. He's on his deathbed, and he's crying out to the Lord, but he's waiting. "I cry out to the Lord. I cried like a swift or rush. I moan like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened, Lord. Come to my aid." So Assyria, Sennacherib was a threat, but this is the ultimate threat because this is death, and he is struggling with his mortality. Well, I think we all do. I think we all struggle with this illness and pain and uncertainty and the loneliness and the questioning God. And this is where Hezekiah was. Well, in my SWOT analysis, we've talked about the threats. We've talked about the strengths. We talked about the weaknesses. And now I'm going to talk about the opportunity. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayers and have seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Syria. I will defend the city. In fact, it says, we didn't read it, but it says that Isaiah gave him the message, hey, prepare to die. And Hezekiah turned and he was praying all this. And Isaiah, as he was in the courtyard leaving, the word of the Lord came to him and says, okay, go back and tell Hezekiah, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Wow, that's an opportunity. What an opportunity. So, this is a sign, the Lord's sign that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back up the 10 steps that has gone down in the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back to the 10 steps it had gone down. So it's one thing for the Lord to say, okay, I'm going to give you 15 years, but Isaiah gave him an object lesson. The shadow is going to, I'm going to turn back the clock. I'm going to turn back the clock 15 years. And everybody saw that. I thought, whoa, that's pretty amazing. And now Hezekiah has a new lease on life. So here is what he's going to do with these 15 years. Isaiah 38, he's going to walk in humility. But what can I say? He has spoken to me. He himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. I mean, he had a death sentence on him, and now he's got a new lease on life. Now he's got new opportunities to serve the Lord. And he says, I'm going to walk humbly for the Lord all my life. I'm going to recognize God's sustaining power. Lord, by such things people live, and by my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health. You let me live. Can you imagine? I think there are some in this congregation that have had that experience too, where you face some difficult health situation and you were on death's door and God miraculously saved you and now you're rejoicing in God's sustaining power. You let me live. No, God's perfect for suffering. So it's interesting here. Hezekiah says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you have kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. There is so much in this passage. He says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. Oh, that's true. Suffering and trials have a purpose. They're to cleanse us, to purify us, to draw us closer to him, to make us rely on him and not ourselves. Surely it was for my benefit. I'm sure if we had a testimony time, we could have some people stand up and say, this was for my benefit that I went through this trial. This was for my good. You have kept me. Your love has kept me. What a great prayer. Worship with all your heart. So he said, for the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. I'm going to worship you while I have my last breath. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to worship you, Hezekiah. And then he says, I'm going to share my testimony. The living, they praise you. I am doing as I am doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. He had a story to tell. He had a testimony to share. He had good news to say what God had done in his life. Let me tell you what God did for me. Wow, Hezekiah, he is opportunity. And he says, I'm going to live each day for the Lord. The Lord will save me. And we will sing with the string instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. So he had a purpose to live before this incident. But man, he is focused. He is going to live for Jesus day in, day out. He's going to share his name with everyone he can talk to. That's opportunity. So this is an interesting thought. So Vernon Brewer was the founder of World Help, which is like a Compassion International. So Vernon Brewer had cancer scare. He's still living, but and he got over it, but it was in his 70s he had this cancer scare, and it was just like amazing, but it really got him to thinking. He came, he did a banquet, and I attended the banquet, and at each setting there was a tape measure, a little paper tape measure, like that. I have a bunch of those in my office, but I just moved and I can't find them. That's too bad, because I was going to give each of you a tape measure. So what he did, he says, okay, look at the tape measure, find your age, because you have to use the metric scale, right? Find your age on the metric scale and rip it off and throw it away. That part of your life is done. You can't do anything about it. It's over. So I got my tape measure here. He says, now find when you think you're going to die on the scale. Like, well, we don't know that. Be optimistic, right? Okay. So I'm 65, optimistic. Well, my mom lived to be 94. Okay, let me rip off to the 94. Throw that away. So I've got this little piece of tape from 65 to 94, or from 65 to 70 or 80. Hezekiah had 15 years. How much time do you have left? And what are you going to do with it? I hope I got 15 years left. I might just have 15 months left. Or 15 days. Or 15 minutes. We don't know. We don't know. How am I going to deal with the threats in my life? I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. How am I going to deal with the strengths of my life because God comes to my rescue? Well, I'm going to praise Him for that. How am I going to deal with the weaknesses in my life? I got to pray. I don't have any choice. How am I going to deal with the opportunities in my life? I need to pray. I don't have a choice. So you need to pray like your life depends on it. Because it does. And Hezekiah is this great example of a man who walked by faith and prayed and faced incredible challenges that we would never face, except we do face the same thing in our spiritual warfare against Satan, who wants to destroy us. We face those things, and we do face the same things because we live in broken bodies that are due to decay, and we're facing death ourselves, just like Hezekiah. And we need to have the same level of faith to cry out to Him and to pray. I started with Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Father, I thank You for Hezekiah and for his crystal clear testimony that in every situation in life, he turned to You in prayer. Lord, he faced incredible opposition. We can't even understand it. And yet, he laid that prayer request out before You in the temple and cried out to You. You answered an amazing way, Lord. You destroyed 185 enemy soldiers, and You can come to our rescue too as we face Satan and his demonic force. Help us, Lord, for those times of weakness. We are all frail. We are all limited in our own bodies. We know, Lord, that we're facing death, some sooner than others. Hezekiah had this moment where he says, prepare to die. you're not going to recover. Lord, I want to pray if there's somebody here tonight that feels they're under that kind of same death sentence, Lord, help them in their weakness to turn to you and to cry out to you. We're asking for your help. And Lord, for opportunities. Now, as Hezekiah had these opportunities, he had a new lease on life. He had a new 15 years to serve you. Help us use each day for you. Lord, we need your grace. We need your strength. We need your wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord. And we cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.